He said, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Do you believe that? The works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So it's like when he rebukes them, it's like he's saying, hey, guys, don't you realize you've got the authority to do this? It's not that he didn't want to be bothered or that he didn't care, but he was saying, guys, don't you realize what the power, the authority that you have in your grasp in my name? And granted, they didn't have the anointing that they had like after Pentecost. In fact, we have, it's amazing the power we have available to us because of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But even just in the authority of Jesus' name, they had literally through the power of his name, they had the authority to speak that command to the wind and the waves and confidently expect to see results. You and I have that same power. I know we don't always feel like it. We don't wake up feeling powerful. We don't leap out of bed and say, man, I feel powerful today. Look out. I'm ready to rebuke something. Man, somebody get in my way. I'm just going to tear it up. We don't always wake up feeling powerful. Nevertheless, we don't live by our feelings. We live by the truth. And Christ wants us to know the power and authority that we have in Him. Not only by the authority of His name, but by the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that He has poured out abundantly upon us. You and I have not only that same power, but greater power than those disciples had available to them. Because all that Christ has given us, they had within their grasp the ability to do these things. But for us, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or imagine, according to or into the degree to which His power is at work in us. You want to do greater things? Let His power fill you more. Yield more to that power. Just give yourself up to the power of God. And to the degree that it's at work in you, then God is able to do exceedingly above all that you can even ask or imagine. Praise God. Heck, demons have power to manipulate nature. Satan, in the book of Job, created a windstorm that took out Job's family. But the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That means if the demon has the power to create the storm, I have greater power to rebuke and still that thing. Whatever power he has to come against me and attack me, I have greater power to put that thing to naught and destroy the works of darkness and destroy the works of the enemy and grind into dust every weapon that he raises up against me in the name of the Lord. So if demons can create a storm, believers filled with the Holy Ghost can rebuke and quiet a storm. Why didn't it work for John Wimber? I don't know. Maybe because it's because we have authority, but we don't have autonomy. And I was going to go down a rabbit trail with this. I don't think I'm going to do that. I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying, don't go there. Just, you know, mention it and move on. We have authority to do everything that God has called us to do. But we are people under submission. We live by His directive. Just as Jesus said, the things that the Father does, that's the things I do. Whatever the Father says, that's the things that I say. So we have authority. We don't have autonomy, but we have authority. Nevertheless, I don't want to go way down that rabbit trail. I feel like the Holy Spirit wants to move on and peel back another layer of this onion. Let me say this. And I'll close with this. The key to understanding this passage is in this little, obscure, obtuse statement that Jesus made right in the beginning of this passage. These words go by, we've got them in red. It's just so innocuous. You read right by it, you don't even stop to think about it. But contained in those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, contained in those 8 words is a profound, powerful truth. Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. I can tell you guys are blown away already. life-changing. I'll never forget that morning when John said, let us cross over to the other side. Why did Jesus say that? Why did he say, let us cross over to the other side? Was he bored? There doesn't seem to be anything going on here. I mean, we pray for everybody. I don't know. Was his favorite restaurant on the other side of the place? You know, he was hungry after doing all that ministering, and you know, he just wasn't in the mood for gefilte fish. He wanted a little bit of steak and some ribeye, or, you know, and the fries, man. I love the fries they have over at that place. Why did he say, let's cross over to the other side? John. He knew exactly what, well, he did. He knew exactly what was going to happen. Not only en route, but once he got there. What? Jesus said, let us cross over. Remember this. Jesus never did anything he didn't see his Father doing. Jesus said, let's go over to the other side because he knew God had something for him over there. And God's purpose would not be thwarted by the futile attempts of the enemy. When God says, I'm going to do this, it's done. Amen. Jesus could sleep in the boat because when his Father said, son, go over to the other side, I got some stuff for you to do. Jesus said, Father, I'm there, I'm gone. And he was secure in the power of his Father's purpose. God doesn't say, well, let's try to get over it on the other side and I really hope we're going to make it. He said, son, I got work for you to do. And in fact, when they got on the other side, he cast the demons out of some demoniacs in the Gadarenes. Not to mention, I mean, not even to mention the whole reason he became incarnate to begin with. He didn't come to die and drown in the Sea of Galilee. He came to be crucified and give his life as a ransom for all and rise from the dead. He didn't care what Satan threw at him. He knew what his Father had called him to do, and he had absolute confidence that his Father's will would be done. And nothing that hell threw in his way could stop what God had purposed to do in Jesus Christ, even in the small incidents like simply crossing over to the other side. His Father said, I got work for on the other side. Cross over. So Jesus said to his disciples, let us cross over to the other side. And nothing hell could drum up could stand in his way. He was sleeping. He was secure. He was confident. If God has called you, and he has called you, and he has given you a mission, and he has given you a purpose. In fact, Scripture says you have purpose beyond measure in Christ. He has prepared works for you to do from before the foundation of the world. He knew your name before he even created put the first star in place. He knew the destiny that he had laid out for you, and he had called you to do things that would magnify him in the world. And if you are called by God and you have a purpose in him and you have a calling and a mission from him, there is not, if you will walk with him with faith and in the power of the Holy Spirit, nothing that hell throws your way can stand in the way of your accomplishing what God has called you to do. And you can take refuge in that. You are not simply some accident floating around on the sea of this world being battered by life circumstances. You are a child of the living God with a destiny and a purpose to fulfill. And if you will trust Him and follow Him, He will ensure that that purpose is fulfilled in your life. And you can sleep in the midst of the storm. But if you must wake up, you can rebuke that thing in the authority of the Lord and enjoy not simply the calm, the great calm. I love it when God comes through, man. When the enemy throws stuff my way and I have the presence of mind to rise up in power and in the authority in the name of Jesus Christ and stand in faith and rebuke that thing and have confidence in my Father's purpose in my life,